Coming to you from Redondo Beach, California, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is a show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Hello, and welcome to the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent, fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver, along with my cohort friend, Kyle Maurer. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, Adam. How are you doing this fine day?
I am fantastic. How are you? What's new in your world? What's going on? What's the haps?
Oh, shoot. Just wrapping up the holiday stuff with the families and planning for a fun New Year's Eve party tomorrow. I'm excited about it. It's a big time and an end of a big year.
Yes, we are recording this at the end of 2016. As we know, the show is going to come out in January 2017. There was the dream of it launching in December 2016. But, you know, the holidays, travel, time got away from us. So we are recording this as episode number 4, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, it's going to be out in 2 weeks from now by the time this comes out. So, you know, nothing of urgent matter on the calendar per se, but we are just cruising along here trying to get things out and answer your questions about WordPress, right?
Absolutely. We are committed.
Not your questions, Kyle, but like questions from people in the WordPress community that we've asked for from help, support until the show gets its own legs, and more people that we don't know ask questions because for some reason they trust us and our advice.
You're not going to answer any questions that I have for you?
Oh, I might. I mean, sure, I guess I will. I mean, I do charge for that. You know, I make this is a living. Wait, no. Wait, what? Anyway, let's move on. As we did earlier in an earlier episode, we're going to repeat this little thing real quick here. What are you wearing? What are you drinking? So what are you wearing in the WordPress swag world of life today?
Well, as a matter of fact, just a couple things at this time. I am wearing a t-shirt. Actually, I have to look. Oh, it's a Media Temple t-shirt. A very nice one, in fact, one that I really like. And on top of that, I've got a limited edition speaker gift, WordCamp North Canton 2015 hoodie.
Wow, nice. And what are you drinking this morning?
I'm drinking some water from a GoDaddy mug. And I actually hear the tea kettle going right now. I was going to have some tea in my limited edition WordCamp Ann Arbor mug.
Okay. So I'm wearing a beanie from, I think it's WP Engine. We should reach out to these companies for sponsorships at this point, I think already. And I'm also wearing a hoodie, a speaker gift from WordCamp Chicago 2016, which I love. And I'm drinking, I'm finishing a cup of coffee, Costa Rican coffee that we got when we were on vacation in Costa Rica this past summer. So, awesome. Good time.
Sweet.
Oh, Costa Rica. Wasn't that a good time?
Oh, it was the best.
The best of times. Anyway, okay. Hey, Kyle, guess what?
What, Adam?
It's questions time.
Whee!
Okay, so let's start off. I think you're starting off the first one, or am I starting? I'm starting off the first one, right? Yes. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So this was sent in by Stan, if I'm not mistaken. Stan created a new plugin service, or has a new plugin slash service coming out, and needs beta testers. He really wants people to take the time. So there'll be a paid for premium plugin or service. And Stan has heard from many people in the community that some people charge for beta testing. Sometimes, of course, at a lower rate. And then they're grandfathered in when the site and when the service and or plugin goes live. What do you think about that? What do you think about charging your beta testers to help you beta test your software or your service?
Well, I think in a lot of situations it does make sense, but it's kind of different for everybody. I don't think that there's a one size fits all solution for every product launch. So that's the first thing I'd say. I'd say some products lend themselves more to a requirement for some beta testing, and some products are of a certain caliber where charging for that beta access makes a lot of sense. I've seen people have success and maybe people fail at this in different ways, but some of the people that I trust have taught me a few lessons about it. And so I think you've got a few options. You know, when you're going through a product launch, you can definitely charge for that beta release. And sometimes maybe you might even charge a higher price just because it makes people feel so special. I mean, they are getting something that no one else has access to, right?
True.
So other things to keep in mind. You mostly want to encourage feedback because this isn't just an opportunity for you to get it out there in front of a few people just to do them a favor. Your beta release is designed to give you some feedback. So that's something that you want to incentivize if possible. So
squeaking in the background there. What's going on in the background of your office there?
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you have your PA getting you a tea. I see. Nice. Okay.
All right. So now I officially have my hot tea.
Okay. So incentivized as far as, you know, getting people to give the feedback. But let me ask you, though, would you yourself pay to be a part of a beta test?
You know, in certain cases, I think I would. It depends on the product. And there are some products that have been released in recent times where I determined that this is so revolutionary, so important, and it will change what we do so much that I want access immediately, as soon as possible, and I'd be willing to pay for it. And especially if it comes with certain benefits. And, you know, there have been times where people have reached out to me and offered some kind of an incentive for me to take the time to not just test it, but also write out my thoughts and give some true, honest feedback. So that's something you can offer. You can say, you know, here's a free version. If you are able to take the time to send me your detailed feedback, I will give you a free license,
okay,
or something like that. Yeah. When we go live,
or maybe a free year, or maybe, you know, 6 months, something, some type of incentive. That makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I've never paid to be in a beta test myself. I don't know if I would. I saw something recently actually come across the ethers, if you will, also, to where somebody was, I guess they had a beta coming out or something, and they were doing a beta, but it was a very limited beta test as well. But they felt, I guess the person described it that they really wanted to have some other people skin in the game, not just get the link, the code, and just not get feedback, because that developer was looking for specific feedback, like you were saying. So it's a good question. It's unique to everyone and how they want to set things up. And I think if you're going for feedback, that is key. And if you're giving access to yourself as a developer, that's also key. So you have to somehow make it be a good balance, right? So I hope that answers your question, Stan. Right.
Yeah, the fundamental problem really is that people are not going to always give you feedback, and you really need to, you know, charging is something like that. You know, we've seen other people run meetups, for example, and know that if you charge for attendance, you get a higher rate of people actually showing up, but fewer people pull that whole no-show routine. So it's the same with like charging for beta access. It's a higher likelihood that the person who actually pays for it is going to take the time to give it the run through because they paid money.
I got to say, though, the charging for WordPress meetups is not looked well upon from, you know, community wide. That's a whole separate conversation. So if somebody else wants to chime in with that, by all means, leave us a message. We'd love to hear your thoughts on that. But I take donations because of the space we have. It's a nonprofit that we get to use, and that money goes back to that space. So, you know, it's a matter of that. But charging, I mean, I used to go to some meetups and people would charge $5 or $10 to the, you know, and the LA meetup, you know, they no longer, because now they have sponsors, and we have a sponsor as well, etc. So I never require it. It's just a, you know, you're right, though. I have 320 people in my Southern California South Bay WordPress meetup, but I have 25 to 30 who are active. I don't know who the other 300 are. They've never been. So if I charge to be in, I guarantee you more than half will just drop out to begin with. So,
yeah, okay. Absolutely.
It's interesting.
Yeah, my last tip would be just ask Justin Fairman, because he knows better than I do.
Okay, nice shout out to Justin. All right, second question. This one you're going to ask, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. So are you ready for this, Adam?
I am.
It's a pretty simple question. I was at a meetup the other day, and someone named Harry asked me, what is the standard must always use plugins? For every WordPress site.
Oh, that's easy. I mean, I have three. Every site I do, I get three right off the bat. One is called Hello Deli. It's a fork that I wrote from Hello Dolly. It's just sandwich names. The second one is Betterify. It's brilliant. It just makes every WordPress site better. And the third, of course, is another one that a friend of mine wrote in as a thank you to me, called Kitchen Sink WP, where it brings you back the tooltip for the drop down of the old Kitchen Sink button. Those three, I mean, those go on every site, no matter what. End of story. Moving on.
Good choices. They really are.
Unless you have some of their options.
Of course, we've got a lot of options.
Okay.
This is a fun question.
Yes.
Every site is always made better by more plugins. And so the plugins that I always use, I mean, you've got to build pages on every site. So you need all the page builder plugins, starting with Visual Composer, of course. And the only way to make it better is to tack on Divi and BV Builder as well. So you've got the ultimate page building power. And if you really want your site to have a lot of awesome features and look beautiful, you need shortcode plugins. Shortcodes are really fun and beautiful. They'll give you all kinds of fun functionality. So you need shortcodes ultimate and shortcodes fantastic and shortcodes wonderful and shortcodes beautiful and shortcodes amazing and all these other fun plugins. Even shortcodes mediocre, sometimes you got to use that.
Yeah.
You know, these are all super helpful plugins. So use all of them.
Okay.
On every site.
All right.
And so, you know, those are the big ones, I think. All the security plugins.
Right.
Use at least 3 security plugins per site.
Yeah.
So that's pretty important.
And also, I like to make sure my security plugins secure the front, the back, and the mid.
Yeah, and the sides.
And the sides, the widgets. Just I have security for widgets alone. I'm kidding. We might be going off the wrong way here. I do have 3 other plugins that I use consistently, more category based, you know.
Right.
I can share those with you real quick, and shall I?
No, skip it.
Okay, but I'm going to show you. I always include a backup plugin, depending on the client. You know, if they need something for free, Duplicator works really well. If they're using a service, if they're hiring me, you know, I may use Backup Buddy for a paid service because I can schedule things, offload it to somewhere else. So a backup plugin is vital. An SEO plugin is also vital if you're blogging often. Well, any type of content. So Yoast SEO is one of as a default standard. And then also a security plugin. Free, you can go with WordFence. Paid, you can use Sucuri or SiteLock. Those are the 3 categories that I think are pretty vital. Beyond that, you know, it just depends on the site itself. You know, if you're doing e-commerce or membership, etc. So, but those 3, I think, cover all sites.
Those are some pretty good examples and a lot of overlap with the kind of things that we commonly use.
Right.
My standard answer to this question is, what are the default always used Quest plugins? There aren't any.
Right.
For us. There's no plugin that we use on every single site. Every site is unique. Every site has different needs. You know, there's some sites that are just totally atypical. You know, if we build like an internal site, you know, or a corporate blog, you know, versus a membership site or an app or a plugin sales site or something, like, all of these are so unique and different that the lineup of plugins installed is completely bespoke. And we'll typically be making a lot of custom plugins from scratch to meet the needs of every site. So there are a couple that are deployed on a lot of sites that we manage. And so those would be our favorite forms plugins, Gravity Forms. We use that the most. So we use that all the time.
Right.
And we also use Client Dash a lot, which is a plugin that we made for customizing the admin experience to give clients something better. And for some admin tools like Query Monitor, which gives you a lot of troubleshooting and debugging information about the pages that you're on, shows you like your PHP errors, the templates you're using, all the hooks that are run on a page load, all the queries that are run, gives you a ton of data for understanding better what's going on in a page as you're developing. And then user switching, I use all the time because it gives a handy admin tool when I want to test experiences of different users, see what a client is seeing. You can just switch to that user very quickly without getting their password and logging in as them. Super handy. Use it all the time.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. I mean, you're right. It does depend. And because the type of work you guys do versus the work I do, you know, it just varies a lot. So, okay. So moving along here, moving to save some time and to move things forward. Last question of the episode is for me to ask you. Where is it here? I'm going to click on this, right? Hey guys, this is, I'm not sure. Oh, this is from Andy. When it comes to working on projects for clients, I'm a taskmaster. I am organized. I get things done and out the door. When it comes to working on my own site, I'm a mess. I get overly critical and demanding of myself and can never get to the point where I feel happy with my own site. I've heard from lots of other people in the industry that this is a very common problem. How can I get over my hangups with working on my own site? So, what do you think is
that? All right. Here's what I think. Andy, you're totally right. This is a common problem in our industry. You know what I think the best solution is for someone in your situation? The best solution is just don't have a site.
Huh?
It's very simple. You know, you gotta be mysterious these days. If you really want to, you know, level up your game, stand out in the industry. Be somebody special. You can be like all those people you meet who just don't have a business card. You know, they're too cool. They're just like above that. They're on another level. You know, they're hard to find. You know, they're like Liam Neeson. You know, so it's like, I'll find you. Okay. You know, you don't need to find me. I am on another level than you. So that's a really good option to consider, since, you know, making the site is kind of hard. It's kind of a pain in the butt. Maybe just skip it.
Okay.
Entirely. All right. That's option A.
That is option A. Do you have an option B?
Well, option B would be to Google best free WordPress portfolio themes. And just, I mean, you're going to get probably 250 batrillion listicle articles that tell you the top 10 WordPress themes for your industry. And you're going to just see which ones are the most popular. And you're going to click on an affiliate link so somebody gets a referral and on all these total garbage, I mean, wonderful articles. And you're going to download one of those themes and you're going to be all set and good to go. You don't need to do any design work. Let someone else do it. So your site will be perfectly beautiful, albeit not even in the slightest bit unique.
Okay. All right, I'm going to cut you off there. I'm going to go with this as an option. Don't listen to Kyle's advice. Okay. Perhaps be more concerned about the content, first and foremost, what you want to share, and then share it. As the old saying goes, just hit publish, first and foremost. You can launch and iterate. You need to launch, okay? And then you need to iterate after that. And I say this from experience. When I launched Concierge WP, you know, truth be told, I took way too long. I took so much time that I lost the clients who asked me for the service to begin with. I spent a month, and I even spoke with this on my other podcast, you know, on Kitchen Sink WP. I spent 1 month evaluating and testing pricing plugins, pricing tables, right? Ridiculous. You know, in the end of the day, it comes out to the fact that you need to offer the content people want, the service that they want. You can iterate and change later. You know, people don't go to certain websites based on how the site looks. They go for the content. So just hit publish, you know, launch and iterate. That's my two cents. That's all I have to say about that. Thank you. Good night. Mm.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. You know, there's so many people that I highly respect in the industry who use the latest default WordPress theme.
Right.
Yeah. There's so many people, great developers, highly respected people in the community who spend so little time investing in styling up their personal website.
Right.
Yeah. It's not something that is hugely important for us.
But we do. It's easier. It happens all the time. I'm sure it happens to you guys. It happens to me. It's easier for me to advise somebody, this is what you need to do. But at the end of the day, I mean, I just worked with somebody earlier this week, and she had her content, but she didn't know what she wanted for design. And I said, well, your design really doesn't make the matter right now. It does. It counts, yes, but what's the call to action? She's a therapist, and the call to action is she needs people to read some of her content, but then to call or take next step is to schedule an appointment. So she didn't have any of that information. So that was the key. Figure out what's the minimum viable product you need, information to get the action you want, and then go. As far as the look and the feel, that's all secondary in my opinion. So she was happy.
I think you're
she
right.
paid me.
I think you're right.
I'm happy, and that's all I got. So,
you know, I can speak from our experience too with our agency. Several years ago, we wanted to rebrand. Mm-hmm. And we spent months going at it ourselves. And we just got nowhere,
right.
Absolutely nowhere. We ended up bringing in a third party, another branding expert that was an acquaintance of ours who kind of owed us a favor, coincidentally, at the time. So he spent a little time on it. He interviewed us. He took down our notes. He went and processed it, did a little research, and came back, made a presentation for us, and that's our brand today. We loved it. It took someone from an outside perspective to really come in. And so that's the thing. If you're struggling with this, which a lot of us do, Andy, you might want to bring in a third party. Maybe even pay them. Maybe find somebody who owes you a favor. Just get their advice. Yeah. It's really hard for you to do it yourself.
It is. It's like doing your own resume back when, you know, if you have a, you know, it's easy to sometimes proofread someone else's resume, but to proofread your own, just as very difficult in my opinion. So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, I hope that was helpful, Andy. And I think those were good questions and some interesting answers. That's it for this episode. Kyle can wrap it up.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for listening and for tuning into the show. We're really excited to have you here with us. And don't forget to send your questions to us, questions at getoptionspodcast.com. Use the speak pipe functionality on our website, getoptionspodcast.com. We'd love to hear from you and answer your questions on a future episode. And if you indicate so, we will let you remain anonymous if it's a personal matter. You can also find us each online at Adam.
I am a fan of Twitter. I'm Hey Adam Silver on Twitter. I'm also over at KitchenSinkWP, the website, and also a Twitter handle there as well. Kyle, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Kyle Maurer. That's MRKYLEMAURER. You can also check out my business website, realbigplugins.com, and my other podcast, WPRoundtable.com.
Cool. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.